If you ever feel like you are abandoned, maybe missing the love of a father, this priest knows. If you ever feel like you're betrayed or forsaken, this priest knows. If you ever feel weakness and being overwhelmed with sorrow and pains, this priest knows. And if you've ever cried out with tears and cried out to God with a loud voice, this priest knows, because he did it for you. And he did it perfectly for you. And because his prayer was answered, he now lives our perfect priest. Ours is a religion like no other. We don't pray with doubt or fear or wondering. We pray to the one true holy God, and through his Son, our perfect priest, we have the perfect prayer.
This message is from Rock of Ages Lutheran Church in Payson, Arizona. March 17, 2024, Hebrews 5:7-9.
Probably one of the more frustrating aspects of the modern era is when you're put on hold. You probably know how that goes when you call because of some issue and you want to reach to the company, but you reach that automatic menu. And the menu says, if your call is for customer service, please wait until I give you 10 options. And then you hear all the options, and finally you hit that button for customer service. And then it says, your call is important to us. The next call will be answered by our available representative in about 45 minutes. And so you either hang up or you listen to that music in the background, waiting for a response. What about our prayers? Now, the Christian faith is certainly not unique in that it has prayer. Religions across the world involve prayer to God, prayer to ancestors, prayer to the divine. But what about God's answering? How sure can we be that we have a prayer good enough that God will answer us and respond, the perfect prayer? Well, today we look at Hebrews chapter 5, and we see once again what makes our faith unlike any other. It has the perfect prayer. Probably the most sad and frustrating truth of all the other religions is they have to realize there is only one God, and he does not answer their prayers. Scripture makes that clear as it speaks of how God is silent to the cries of those who are sinners. Anyone who is guilty cannot expect to approach him and have him hear. It doesn't matter if they're calling to Allah or if their hands are folded and they're down on their knees praying to Jehovah their God. It doesn't matter if they are one who expects that their ancestors who have died will somehow respond to them. They will not get a response. There's no connection. And they got the wrong number. And actually more than that, even if they did have the right number and they were calling on the name of the right God, they haven't paid their bills. And they've accrued a debt that they could never pay off. So God has severed the connection and says sinners cannot call to him or approach him. And God even made that clear to his people. That's what the writer to the Hebrews is getting at when he speaks of the need for a priest. See, God made clear that the people could not directly approach God, but they needed a mediator, someone who would be an intercessor on their behalf. And so God gave them the priestly office to offer up sacrifice and offer up prayer on behalf of the people. But God made it clear the cost to reach out to the throne of God, to enter his presence, is great. The priest had to wash their hands, ceremonially cleansing themselves. They had to spill blood to cover over the guilt of their sins. And only then, with sacrifice and special provision, could those who were appointed by God approach as a priest and offer up prayer and sacrifice on behalf of the people. So we might maybe be able to identify with that. We know, yes, as the New Testament church, we have access to the throne of God. We have an invitation to approach him. And yet, maybe sometimes our prayer life can start to feel very similar to all the prayers before us and all the prayers of this world. We call out, we lift up our hands to heaven, maybe even cry out with tears. But then maybe we're left wondering, does he hear? Is he going to respond? Is my prayer good enough? Maybe even worse, the feeling might creep up and we might realize the terrible weight of our guilt and say, have I done enough that God should listen to me? Do I deserve to have access that he might do something in response to my pleas? But the writer to the Hebrews gives us assurance that we don't need to sit in our sin and our guilt. What makes our faith so unique from every other faith is the confidence we have in prayer, with a perfect prayer. And so that we might see this, the writer to Hebrews takes our eyes off of ourselves, off of our own small attempts at reaching God, to the perfect prayer, to the perfect priest. He says in chapter 5, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears. Jesus, though he is the eternal Son of God, came to this world. And the Son of God lowered himself so that he, in our place, would call out to the Father in prayer. And according to his human nature, yes, there were times where he would call out with a loud voice, where tears would stream from his face. As he stepped in the place of sinners, he became what is called here our perfect priest. And he offered up the prayers that were needed. We see many times throughout Jesus' life that he prayed. We're reading in Luke 5 that Jesus often withdrew to lonely places to pray. But he didn't just pray alone. He also prayed in front of his disciples. As we read earlier in the Gospel of John, we see how he prayed in front of the crowds. And he taught prayer. But then there came that one night. Maybe it's the night the writer to the Hebrews is speaking of here, when Jesus says he was overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. And he took three of his closest friends and said, come and watch with me while I pray. And so he took Peter, James, and John to the garden. And there it says, with his face down to the ground, you could see he was overwhelmed with sorrow. And he cried out in prayer to the Father, Father, if it's possible, take this cup of suffering away. He knew what was coming. He knew, according to his human nature, what would come upon him with the suffering, the betrayal, the abandonment of his friends and disciples, the mockery, the whipping of his back, the injustice as he was condemned to die as a criminal, how he would, under the weight of the cross, find himself physically exhausted and he would collapse, and then he would find his flesh pierced as he was stretched out and put on display on the cross, mocked, tortured, and killed. But more than that, the Son, it says, because of his reverent submission, obeyed. God not only knows what it is for us to suffer, the Son of God experienced it. And on the cross, he took the place of sinners, experiencing the separation, the cutoff. He faced more than the scourging and the whipping. He was praying because he knew he would be forsaken. He was the only one who could truly say he was cut off from the Father when he didn't deserve it. And on the cross, we hear him giving that prayer. Jesus cried out, Father, my God, why have you forsaken me? But really, as he said that, it was the perfect prayer. He was the priest that we needed. He had approached not just the throne of God on earth in the temple, but the very throne of God in heaven. And before the throne in heaven, as he suffered, he cried out to the Father with a perfect prayer as he offered up the perfect sacrifice. The writer to the Hebrews says, this man, Jesus, he was without guilt, without sin, like us in every way, but perfectly blameless. He had the right to approach God's throne. He had access to the Father. And the only reason the Father would turn away is because he was taking the sinner's place. And with that perfect prayer, the writer to the Hebrews says, because of his reverent submission, he was heard. God answered his prayer. We see in the garden, after he gets up, he is strengthened by the angels that were sent to strengthen his human nature. And when he cried out in the courts, Father, glorify your name. Literally, a voice spoke from heaven saying, I have glorified it and I will glorify it. And the Son was lifted up. And that prayer on the cross did not go unanswered. Yes, he died, but he prayed to the one who could save him from death. And on the third day, he conquered death. It was a perfect prayer, offered by the perfect priest on your behalf. What we see from this is, one, we can't miss. If you ever feel like you are abandoned, maybe missing the love of a father, this priest knows. If you ever feel like you're betrayed or forsaken, this priest knows. If you ever feel weakness and being overwhelmed with sorrow and pains, this priest knows. And if you've ever cried out with tears and cried out to God with a loud voice, this priest knows, because he did it for you. And he did it perfectly for you. And because his prayer was answered, he now lives our perfect priest. Jesus, it says, learned obedience from what he suffered. That doesn't mean that Jesus had to learn anything so much as, according to his human nature, he experienced it. Like the difference between saber y conocer, to be familiar with something and to know something. God experienced what we needed to in our place. And it says he became perfect. Really, that should be translated the same word as what Jesus said on the cross. It is finished. He reached his goal. He became the perfect priest with the perfect sacrifice and the perfect prayer. And having been made perfect, having reached his goal, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. And to obey him is really referring to those who confess his name and by faith follow him. To all who believe and who trust in him, he is the source of what we need. Access to God and access to eternal life. You know, there's a movie that came out in 1989. You might have seen it, called Glory. And it deals with the 1st Black Regiment during the American Civil War. And there's kind of an interesting dynamic that plays out as the leader, the colonel in charge of all the troops, he's a commanding officer, has one of his friends enlist. His friend named Thomas becomes an ordinary soldier. And at first, they think, the friend Thomas thinks he can approach his commanding officer because he's friends. But then he's made to understand, you have to follow military protocol. And so he makes clear to his friend he won't respond. And even at one point tells him, I'm sorry, if you have an inquiry, you have to go through the proper channels and make a request for a hearing. And you almost see the bittersweet pain between a friend and the commanding officer friend as they can't interact as they'd like. As the movie goes on, there's this bittersweet moment where Thomas, the enlisted soldier, says to the commanding officer, permission to speak, sir. And hesitantly, the man, Robert, says, you have my permission. And he says, Merry Christmas, Robert. And for a brief moment, the commanding officer says, Merry Christmas, Thomas. And that's it. Imagine if that was what our relationship was like with our God. Well, as the movie goes on, the commanding officer ends up, I don't know if it happened this way in history, but leading the troops himself as one of the first to go over a dangerous ridge and be taken down by the enemy soldiers. Himself giving up all of his pay along with his soldiers when they're spurned. Himself leading and taking the fight. How much more don't we have the love of the one who became our brother, who broke the barrier and division as he enlisted to fight in our place, and as he fought for us, and as he offered up the sacrifice of himself, so that we might have access, and we might approach the throne of God. What is the perfect prayer? The perfect prayer is the one offered up by the perfect man, the one who cried out to the Father on behalf of this world. And the perfect prayer is the one that is now spoken in his name that says, Lord, have mercy on me. And God answers that prayer. And he answers every prayer that you now make in the name of Christ, who became our priest, our perfect Savior. And you now have the perfect prayer, assured by God himself that he will answer. Ours is a religion like no other. we don't pray with doubt or fear or wondering. We pray to the one true holy God, and through his Son, our perfect priest, we have the perfect prayer. Amen.